Konnichiwa, and good morning.
I beg your pardon?
I'm mixing things up, Jim. You're listening to The Morning Show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio. I'm Jack Peterson. I'm here with Jim Healy, as always, on a Thursday morning. And the usual good morning was just feeling a little stale. It's a beautiful spring day.
I accept your different way of saying good morning because this is an incredible coming down here this morning. I did it in my vehicle, my car, but you pedaled, didn't you?
I pedaled and it was like not pedaling at all. I just drifted in on a spring breeze.
You know, you just want to, and then the irony of it, we started the show with a avalanche report.
I know.
How can one think, what next? Mm-hmm. The tsunami moving in, when it's a sunny, beautiful day. We have a third person in here.
We do. No stranger to these airwaves, Hannah Combs, the executive director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum, is here. Also co-host of the Community Character Hour monthly on the second and fourth Mondays of the month. And today you're here in your capacity as the Museum and Historical Society Director to talk about what's going on over there.
I am. We have a lot coming up, so thanks for having me.
And you sound pretty clear.
Okay, that's a relief. Yeah. I've got the crud that's going around, so forgive my sniffles through the show this morning.
You were kind enough to wear a face mask, and Jim and I are both, we're risking it.
I think we've got enough distance.
Yeah.
We were well trained a few years ago on this, so
that's right. Where were we ever?
Yeah. Okay, let's do a little weather report, shall we?
It's sunny outside. What more do people know?
It's true. It's 42 degrees outside right now. Today the high is 47. There is a 50% chance of rain and patchy fog.
That patchy fog.
I know.
I'm sure quilters, there's something about quilters who probably were weather forecasts or something at one time.
The overnight low, 32 degrees with just a 10% chance of rain tonight. So I guess we'll get some kind of rain this afternoon and then clearing up a little bit. A 40% chance of rain or snow tomorrow with a high of 43. On Saturday, rain is likely and the high is 48 degrees. On Sunday, rain is likely and the high is 51 degrees. And now get this, on Monday, there's a 70% chance of snow.
No way.
And the high is 44. Well, okay.
Maybe that avalanche report was needed.
I guess so. We got snow on Monday, snow in the forecast for Tuesday, and then a rain and snow mix on Wednesday.
There we go.
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it, but I guess it would be nice to get a little bit more snow. I believe we're still in a snow drought around
absolutely.
Here.
I'm waiting for a big dumping. I'll take it. But I do have the weather report. Speaking of quilters, my sister's a quilter in the D.C. area, and she sent in the weather forecast because she says, Alexa, 88.5 KRFY, and there we are in there. Living quarters, she says, good morning, weather in D.C. area, 51 now, high of 62 expected, overcast and cloudy today, waiting for spring. Well, she should be here.
Yes.
And just look, crocuses are up here.
Mm-hmm.
And little things are sprouting up, green things everywhere.
Well, okay. So if March comes in like a lamb, does it go out like a lion? Because it did not come in like a lion this year.
All I know is that April is the cruelest of months. So says the poet.
Yes.
T.S. Eliot, The Wasteland. Oh, there's a cheery upper. I don't know about March weather.
I always heard in like a lion, out like a lamb. Comes in rough and then goes
I'm sure
out
someplace in the world that was... Yeah. And it happened one day.
Yeah.
Then it becomes the whatever it is for the rest of the cycle.
Yeah.
So what's new? What should we talk about? Basketball tourneys, college level, conference tournaments are taking place.
Right. March Madness is around the corner.
Here. Is around the corner. Mm-hmm. Well, because what month is this? Am I the only one who follows women basketball in here?
You might be the only one who follows basketball at all.
I always participate in the...
That's a conversation ender.
I like to follow the Minnesota Timberwolves on the professional level, especially now that they're regularly kind of in contention for something.
Yep.
But on the college level, yeah, I do. I follow the men's tournament just because I fill out a bracket.
Oh, you fill out the bracket and do that
with my brothers every March.
I'm with the women. I know you are. Love, and my beloved Notre Dame plays Miami today at 10:30, and I'll be on pins and needles and distracted.
Mm-hmm. And the Notre Dame women's team is usually pretty good.
They're interesting this year. They lost four of their starters, and they've been up and down, but they are on a 5-game win streak, go Irish, with the All-American Hannah Hidalgo. So that's all I can say.
Okay.
Hannah.
Yes.
You are here. Let's talk about something in the past. Last Saturday first at the Panada Theater, and then we can go on with your list of items to mention.
Sure, yeah. This past Saturday, we hosted a film with the Panada called Sandpoint at the North End of the Long Bridge. It is a film that Eric Darstead, our local famous cinematographer, created for the Sandpoint Centennial back in 2001. And because 2026 is Sandpoint's 125th anniversary as a town, we thought it was a good time to bring it back out and share the story of Sandpoint again.
It's a wonderful film. And if you have not seen it, you need to experience it because you walk out more in love with this city than when you entered.
Definitely. The message that they share is so beautiful and I think reminds all of us that the community of people who live here and have lived here is really why we all are so passionate about this place.
It's so easy to forget why we're here and to take this beautiful city and its inhabitants for granted.
Yeah. And you know, this film is available on DVD at the museum gift shop, but there's something really special about getting to see it together in person. We had Doug Jones brought in some of the original illustrations that he drew that are included in the film. We had some of our volunteers were showing little films on a 16mm film projector before the show. So it's a really fun kind of hands-on way to see aspects of what goes into filmmaking as well.
Wonderful. So no plans to show it again, but it will be on the agenda at one time or another.
Yes. Yeah. It's such a great film. And there are still so many people who haven't seen it. Honestly, I think we could bring it back every year and there would be a crowd to see it.
And a good turnout. Okay, that was last Saturday. What's coming up, dear?
Yeah, so we do have, so kind of big picture at the museum and the programs that we're doing this year, we have a few events that we do on a monthly basis. We have our free First Saturday program. That's the first Saturday of each month. Admission is free to the public. And along with that, we have our hands-on history program. And these are hands-on activities that our education team puts together that teach kids about history through different kinds of crafts and games. So
what's the age range that you're trying to target?
Yeah, I would say with that program, it's anywhere up to probably like 4 to 12 is kind of the age range.
And that's when?
That is during Free First Saturday.
Free First Saturday, what time? Just anytime somebody walks in?
10 to 2.
Got it.
Yes, okay. But those activities are available throughout that time. We also have a monthly program called the History Exchange, and this is where we have a guest come to the museum, and they either give a lecture on some aspect of history that interests them, or they do a sort of exhibit type of show and tell with some of the objects from our collection that they're a particular expert on. Because the space is fairly small, these events are only open to members of the Historical Society, but they are fascinating and they cover all kinds of different topics. So I would highly encourage anyone to become a member of the museum in order to enjoy those. And then, as Jack mentioned at the top of the show, we also have our monthly radio program.
Ta-da!
Called the Community Character Hour right here on 88.5.
I was going to ask you what station.
Yes. And that's the fourth and then second Mondays of the month at 8 a.m. And right now we are kind of picking up where we took off, where we ended last year. We are getting into the early transportation of Bonner County, and we'll end the year kind of talking about how everything changed when the railroads came into town. So it's we've got a lot on the docket for the radio show this year, too, which is really fun.
Yeah, you can find that on KRFY's website at KRFY.org. And if you click on podcasts, Community Character Hour is one of those links from that page. And it's, the last one about transportation on the lake, the ferries and steamboats on the lake dating back, which were on the lake for about 100 years, which was much longer than I expected. Learned a lot.
Yeah, definitely.
During that show. That was cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yeah, go on.
Yeah, so those are the programs that we're going to be doing every month throughout the year. We also are planning some special events this year. So we're going to have a seasonal series of events called Past is Present. And each of these will be around different themes that are relevant to not just local history, but how you can be a part of it. So we are going to be looking at different ways to discover history, explore your roots, celebrate community together, and then just the joy of storytelling. So the first, the film and an exhibit that we opened recently have been part of that first series, as well as a walking tour that we're going to be doing in a couple of weeks. So, a couple of weeks ago, we opened a new exhibit at the museum. This is our temporary exhibit for the year and will be up for about a year. It's called For the Record: How Journalists, Surveyors, and Photographers Shaped History as We Know It Today. And this is kind of a rare glimpse into our archival collection. Most of our exhibits really focus heavily on the different objects in our collections, whether that's, you know, old train equipment or dairy creamers or things like that. But we have a really rich collection of photographs, documents, maps, that sort of thing. And this was a great way to bring those out and highlight them and show what we can learn from them, why those documents were created, and how they are the basis of what we know about history at this point in time.
It's sort of interesting as you were talking, Hannah, I was thinking of how our sense of history has changed now that everyone has a cell phone, or every house practically has a video camera on it, and how what did one do before we had all of these tools?
Right.
And how was history recorded? How was history portrayed?
Yes, definitely, because there's always a perspective of whoever is telling it. They have their own ideas that influence how they tell that story. It is really interesting just thinking back, you know, if you compare today to the past, in a lot of ways we are creating and saving a lot more information than they ever did back then. But at the same time, when so much of our current history is in a digital format, there are a lot of questions about how and what will be saved from this period of time in the future, and what will be lost.
I'm just thinking, when you're talking about in the past, we're talking about the 1980s.
Yeah. I know. It is kind of odd to think that is now. That's definitely history at this point in time.
Absolutely. And when not everyone had a cell phone or the ability to right now record this moment.
Right.
Yeah. It's.
Mm-hmm.
It's incredible.
That exhibit spans, like, what kind of period of time are you looking at?
Yeah, so it is largely early 20th century. So mostly from around kind of 1900, that's when towns like Sandpoint and Hope were really getting platted, and towns were being organized officially. So that's when we start having those kind of documentations and records being recorded. And so sort of around the turn of the century up through about the 1950s, 60s is where we cut it off.
Okay, cool. Well, it should be a fascinating exhibit. Mm-hmm. I would think.
Yeah, it's cool. Beautiful. And we have, I would say my favorite part is about surveying because it's an area that I didn't know a lot about. Mm. And we have all of these beautiful old pieces of equipment in the exhibit. And it kind of talks about how they would have been used and how difficult that process was back then that, you know, people were having to go up in the woods carrying these really heavy chains to measure distances up there. And, you know, one of our members did a history exchange program a few months ago about surveying the borders between Idaho and Montana and Idaho and Washington. And the idea that they sent these guys, you know, and just said, walk due north, whatever you come across, get through it. So they're coming up and over cliffs and these huge mountains to try to survey those routes.
Yeah. The newspaper that you looked at, or around here, it was called the Ponderé Times, or I can't remember this one.
There were so many. We actually have a wall in the exhibit that shows how all of these different newspapers ultimately formed into the kind of media empire that the Daily Bee is now a part of. Mm-hmm. But back in the old days, we had the Ponderé Review, we had the Northern Idaho News, we had the Priest River Times. So there were a lot of different newspapers over the years that that told our story.
How complete are those collections?
So we're very proud of this. I would say another great thing is that the East Bonner County Library has digitized all of the newspapers from 1892, those are our earliest, up through 2013. And those are available on the library website, and you can look at them digitally, which is such an amazing resource. But we are also really proud that the museum holds original print copies of about 97% of the newsprint ever printed in Bonner County.
Wow. Yeah.
Is preservation, newspapers not printed on the most quality?
Correct.
Is there preservation concerns?
Yes, and there are things that we do to extend the lifespan of those. Mm-hmm. So it is really important that they have been digitized.
Because absolutely,
it is really rare to see newspapers that last for 400 years. But we are able to extend their lifespan a lot longer than they would be in somebody's garage.
Sure.
By we have these archival boxes that we store them in that are acid free. And will prevent a lot of the things that would deteriorate the paper. It's also important that we store them in a relative... Or if you've been in the museum, you might notice that it's fairly chilly when you come to visit. we do keep the building cooler than most office buildings would be, and that does help with the preservation as well.
Wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah. We're talking to Hannah Combs, Executive Director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum about, right now, about preserving old newspapers, which the museum has done a wonderful job of. The exhibit is called, once again, For the Record, How Journalists, Surveyors, and Photographers Shaped History as We Know It Today. How about the photography part of that? We've talked about the newspaper, we've talked about the surveying. How about the photography aspect of it?
Yes. We are fortunate to have a really rich collection of photographs. Most people in this community are familiar with Ross Hall. Mm-hmm. He was a famous photographer in the mid-century. His predecessor, Dick Himes, created tons of photographs that we reference regularly that show the towns of Bonner County as they were in the early 1900s. We're also currently working on a project. We received a large collection of photographs from the Jim Parsons Jr. family. And these span all of their family photographs from about the 1930s through the 1990s. So we are so fortunate as a community to have really rich photographic documentation of the people and places of this area over about the course of a century.
Mm-hmm. We were spoiled because the radio station, it remains, but we were on top of the Hallen Gallery that had a wonderful Ross Hall collection.
Of course.
And to see the photographs as I walked up the stairs every day was such a joy.
Yeah, and you can now see the collection just down the street at the AM Gallery, which is kind of in the same building and slightly behind the Pondere Winery. So you can still go in and see all of that history and the gigantic, beautiful prints that they have in that building.
Heather, we're not going to get through all of the items. You know, I'm looking at this. Should we take a quick music break, a short song, and then we can regroup and start what's coming up on Saturday, March 14th, which I think is an exciting. On this date, I have a couple songs queued up. Important people passed away, musicians, and to recognize that on this date, March 5th, 1963, Patsy Cline died in a plane crash near Nashville, Tennessee. And here's one of her classic songs written by Willie Nelson. Patsy Cline singing Crazy. Boy, I tell you, you know, I can see the words she's singing there. She's so clear, and her enunciation, and just a pleasure. But on this date in 1963, Patsy Cline died in a plane crash.
We're here with Hannah Combs. You're listening to The Morning Show on 88.5 KRFY. Jack and Jim with you, and Hannah Combs, the executive director of the Bonner County Historical Society and Museum. Coming up later on this hour, Derek Collison, and I don't know if somebody else is coming too from the festival at Sandpoint to drop in and give us an update now that their summer music festival is filling out a little bit. Let's talk about what's coming up at the museum or not at the museum for society members.
We have both.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like I said, the first Saturday of each month, which is going to be this coming Saturday, we have free first Saturday from 10 to 2 at the museum, sponsored by Sand Creek Custom Wear. And we'll be doing hands-on history activities. I have seen a ton of toilet paper rolls showing up, and I heard that they're going to be making binoculars with them, which is going to be so right. adorable. So I am very excited to see that happen. And then on the following Saturday, March 14th, is an event that I am so excited about. I have been chatting with Steve Gill. He just retired from the Idaho Department of Environmental Quality. And back in 2009, he led an extensive assessment of the historic sites along the shoreline of what is now the Pondere Bay Trail. They were doing some decontamination with the old smelter site. He led that project, and he was part of the team that really helped make the Bay Trail a reality. I'm sure many of the people listening have walked that trail. It's a beautiful experience and a great way to see the lake. So on Saturday, March 14th at 10 o'clock, we're going to be meeting up at kind of by the Edgewater Resort there at City Beach with Steve Gill. And he is going to lead us on an adventurous 4-mile hike all the way down the Bay Trail, all the way out to Black Rock and back. And he's going to give us a historic tour of all of the sites along there. So If you've been out along the trail, you have probably seen the ruins from the Humbert Lumber Mill, though you may not have known what they were from. If you've been out to Black Rock, you might wonder what that site is all about. And there are a bunch of other points of interest along the way that he's going to discuss with everybody. And I love talking to him about this. It's really a passion of his, the history behind this site. So it's going to be really fun to get to see that through his eyes and learn all about the history of our shoreline.
And it says that tickets are limited to 30 people. Where does one get a ticket?
Yeah, I would say if you are a member of the Historical Society, you have received an email with your ticket discount code. If you are not a member of the Historical Society, I would go to Sandpoint Online, and there is a ticket link right there that'll take you straight to the page.
And a couple things about it. Number one, this is the time to go on this tour because the lake levels are low.
Exactly. If you go during the summer, most of the interesting things out there are underwater. So this is the time to see it. March might seem like an odd time to go on a big hike, but we're going to do it rain or shine. So come
That's
prepared
important.
For the weather.
Bring along a snack or two.
Yes, yeah, snacks are great. And yeah, I will. We'll have a good time.
And you meet at 10 o'clock. Now, will that be in the parking lot?
So we are asking just to not overfill the trailhead parking lot.
Right, exactly.
We are asking everyone to park at City Beach. We'll meet up by the interpretive signs right at the kind of at the Edgewater parking lot there.
Excellent.
And then we'll walk down past the seasons and then
I walked the trail last Sunday. With a person who knew some of the history and just amazing.
Yeah.
Do it. Go. March 14th at 10 a.m., rain or shine or snow or whatever.
We're hoping we'll get that lovely early morning sunshine.
Like today.
Crossing our fingers, yeah.
Absolutely wonderful. With Steve Gill. What else is coming up?
Yeah, so on Thursday, March 19th, we have our next History Exchange program. Again, that's open to Historical Society members, and we host those at the museum. We do a social hour kind of gathering from 4:30 until 5:15, and then we'll do the program from 5:15 until 6. This month, our guest is Ken Conger. And he's going to be showing us some of the old office equipment in our collection from the first half of the 20th century. So, you know, living now in the age of AI, I feel like some of the old, we think of old names as IBM or Dell, but these are machines that precede computers by a long mile. So he was kind of giving me a preview, and we were looking at machines called dictaphones, comptometers, stenographs. When he showed me the spirit duplicator, I was like, are we going to have a seance? What is this? But no, it's basically a copy machine. So, that kind of blew my mind a bit that at one point in time, it was quite the process to make a copy of something.
Back in the mid 1800s, they were called scriveners.
Ooh, yes.
Yes. Mm. And I remember that Herman Melville wrote an incredible short story called Bartleby the Scrivener, because you think, I'll take a copy of that. I'll have a copy of that. No, a lot of this was done by longhand.
Wow.
And fascinating.
Yeah. And so, you know, I think we see ourselves as being in this age of innovation right now, but they were in an age of innovation back then as well. Mm-hmm. And it all led to where we are today. So,
okay. So that is March 19th, Thursday, at the Historical Center. Oh, by the way, we've never said where it's located.
Oh, of course. Yes. So the Bonner County History Museum is in Lakeview Park in Sandpoint. If you want to look it up on your Maps app, we're at 611 South Ella Avenue. And if you're just driving around the neighborhood, you will likely see our big yellow caboose out on the lawn. That's how you know you're in the right place.
What else is coming up here? Can we should we look forward into the next month?
Sure. Maybe? Yeah, mm-hmm. I can give a little save the date. We're going to be doing our next batch of past as present events at the end of April, beginning of May. It's going to kick off with our Historical Society annual meeting on Tuesday, April 28th. And I can't reveal the name yet, but we're going to have a special guest lecture after the meeting. So that is something you'll definitely want to put on your calendars. And this is also a great opportunity to vote on our board members and just share your voice if you have any feedback about our programming, about our direction, and where you'd like to see the Historical Society go. This is your opportunity as a member to voice that. Even though this is our membership meeting, other members of the public are welcome to attend. So if you're just kind of curious about the Historical Society and want to know what's going on, you are also welcome to join us on Tuesday, April 28th. Then on...
I guess
I'll just keep going.
I guess what I'm thinking of is maybe we should have Hannah come back like in mm-hmm. mid-April. I don't know if our dates are filled, but you know, because I don't know about anybody else, but late April seems
a
like
a long way out.
A long mm-hmm. way out, and I haven't even planted my little starting for flowers or anything like that. So, will you come back?
I will, absolutely.
But do you want to briefly mention some of the
yes.
things coming up?
I would love to give a tickle for just a couple other things
sure.
that we're doing then.
That'd be great. Oh, I like that word tickle. Nice.
So the big one is on Saturday, May 2nd, we are going to be doing a driving tour of historic sites along the Pend'Oré River. So
ooh.
There are a few other events in the community that are modeled like this. So we have the studio artist tour, mm-hmm. the garden mm-hmm. tour, same concept, but we're going to be going to different historic sites.
Cool.
And because Bonner County is so big, we're going to be kind of limiting it to one area. We're hoping this will be an annual event.
And do a different area?
Yes, that's the idea.
Cool.
Yeah. So we'll have... different sites, whether they are old grange halls, bridges, churches, just any of the kind of old buildings and places from our past that are still here that we can learn from. So I'm really excited about that. And then that evening on Saturday, May 2nd, we are lucky to be the beneficiary of a fundraiser Leadership Sandpoint is putting on. That's going to be at the Sandpoint Organic Agriculture Center, a little north of town up by the Schweitzer Red Barn. If you haven't been there, the facility is gorgeous. They also have the apple orchards there. It's just a really beautiful spot. And they are doing a really awesome fundraiser for the museum called Protect Our Story. They are helping us raise funds to... buy some of those archival boxes that I was mentioning, mm-hmm. But for some of the objects in our collection. And so, again, these help us extend the lifespan of those objects and help us preserve the stories that they hold on to. And these are not just one person's stories. These are stories that are, you know, all together are our stories. So,
cool.
They're going to be helping us out with that. They are planning a trivia competition, which is really exciting. I know I've done some trivia events here with the radio station before. So we're going to try to stump you, but I don't know if some of the KRFY crew show up, they're probably going to win. So,
or if Nancy Rank shows up.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, forget that.
but yeah, and we also have an exhibit at the Ag Center that we opened in December. So if mm-hmm. you missed that, you can come see that exhibit as well.
Cool. Okay, my last question for you is, learned anything interesting about history lately, Hannah?
Always.
What's your top
Every
new
day.
Fact about
oh,
history?
Oh, man. You know, I'm kind of in this mode where I'm learning how machines work. So mm-hmm. between the, you know, dictaphones and stenographs, again, this 16 millimeter film projector that some of our volunteers figured out how to use. I am getting really nerdy about how these old machines function and really thrilled that we have people who know how they work, who can share their demonstrate knowledge. Them. Yeah. So that's been a lot of fun.
Cool, cool, cool. Well, Hannah, thank you so much for stopping by. And before the day is out, you'll be hearing from us to book you a time for maybe mid-April.
That sounds great.
And we can talk about April, May. That driving tour sounds fantastic.
Perfect. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Good to have you here. And on this date, we mentioned about the passing of Patsy Cline. Also on this date in 1982, John Belushi of the Blues Brothers passed away of a drug overdose in L.A. And here's one of the Blues Brothers songs, Gimme Some Lovin'.
We'll be back with Dara and Paul from the festival right after this.
That was the Blues Brothers. If I'm not mistaken, Give Me Some Lovin' was Spencer Davis Group, I think.
That it was.
I think. Thank
you. There was a little baby Steve Winwood singing lead on that back in the day. Spencer Davis Group.
He got around, didn't he, before traffic and post-traffic. But on this date in 1982, John Belushi passed away in L.A. Mm-hmm. And now we have, in the studio.
With us now.
Joining us from
the festival at Sandpoint, Dara Collison and Paul Gunter, whose titles, once again, I failed to write down. I can guess.
That's exactly right. Thank you, Jack. Thanks for having us.
Community engagement and coordinator. Okay.
Whew.
Okay. And then site manager and education director or something like that. No?
Those are words
close
that have meanings. Yes, I am. The production and education manager with the festival at Sandpoint.
Production. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. Great. Fine.
Yep. We produce things from time to time.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was close. Well, thanks for coming in and talking once again about the festival. This is a busy time of year for festival news, because in the last month, since the last time you were on, two or three concerts have been announced, right? Two. One.
Dose.
None. Two.
Dose.
All right. What do we...
I'm going with two. Sort of.
Okay. Can we start with the concert series? What's known right now so far? What's publicly... What can you tell us? Who's playing it?
We can tell you that Andy Grammer will be gracing the stage on Thursday, July the 30th to start us off this year.
Okay.
Andy Grammer and Walk Off the Earth.
Which is a cool band.
Fun band. They they have performed on the festival stage previously.
Mm-hmm. Fun
in one
show.
One of the final tent years.
Mm-hmm.
I was at that show.
Yeah, yes. It was a good one.
Okay. And is that all you can tell us?
No.
We have much more.
The following Thursday will be Midland. They're a country trio, and they'll be gracing the stage for our country night, Thursday, August the 6th.
Okay.
Their number one song is Drinking Problem.
It's going to be a good night. I'm drinking hot whiskey.
I guess a couple other popular songs are Burnout and Cheating Songs. So, sounds like it's going to be quite a night.
Okay.
I feel like there's lots of songs that end with an N apostrophe, right? Like,
No G needed.
Mm-hmm. Not where we're going.
Nope.
No. And then, of course, our grand finale.
Yes.
Yes. We're going back to a movie and concert with our very own festival at Sandpoint Orchestra, directed by Morihiko Nakahara, with our own concert master, Jason Moody, from right here in Sandpoint, Idaho. Mm-hmm. How to Train Your Dragon 2. Yes. We broke our record for the largest orchestra on stage for How to Train Your Dragon 1, and we're going to beat that by, I think, 3 chairs this year. So,
cool.
Yeah, we'll be above 80 players when it's all said and done.
Well, all right.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, a fireworks show at the end to wrap up the season. And,
Okay. So
and more announcements to come, so stay tuned.
Yeah, you've given us 3, and we have, it's 9? 9 is the total number of nights?
9 will be the total number of nights, correct.
Okay.
So we are going to be doing a community night again this year. And I do believe that will be on a Sunday this year. So a full community day. It'll just be the evening, but still.
Right.
Are individual tickets available?
For Andy Grammer and
Midland.
For Midland and for How to Train Your Dragon.
And how does one go about purchasing those tickets?
Festivalatsandpoint.com is the one and only place you should go. Scalpers are real. Mm-hmm. And so make sure when you are on the internet and you are searching for How to Train Your Dragon 2 or Midland or Andy Grammer, that you are going through the festivalatsandpoint.com. That will take you to eTix, which is our platform for ticketing, the only tickets sold by the festival for these shows are through eTix.com.
Can a person stop by the festival office?
We would love people to stop by the
festival office. And that's located where?
525 Pine Street, the brick building. It's the annex. We share a parking lot kind of with the community garden. And you can come on in where hours are Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5.
Okay. And so the lineup is set, correct? I mean, it's not made public yet, but it's sort of
set.
Yeah,
we'll keep releasing shows. But yeah, we're starting to get into the pre-production on a lot of stuff this time of year, advancing some of the finer details.
I was going to ask you, what's going on at the festival office? Okay, the lineup you have. What are you doing between now and tail end of July? Sitting back with your drinks and
Taco Tuesday.
Joke. It's busy. We are doing a lot of pre-prep and planning and details. And my part of my title that I failed to mention earlier is development, which means I work with a lot of our sponsors. And so making sure that the sponsor experience is what everybody expects it to be, that that everyone's happy with the way that they can get in and answering questions to people that maybe didn't know that we have ADA early entry and you can arrive at the front gate at 5:30 and you will be able to be escorted into our ADA seating section 15 minutes before the show starts. I've learned that a lot of people are not aware of that. So it's a lot of those types of informative sharing the information out with everyone just to make that experience that much better for them.
Backtracking just slightly.
Oops.
Just slightly.
Rewind.
Just because you mentioned it, and I'm on your website right now, here's this big warning. Ooh. Well, it's kind of fine print, but beware. That's in all caps. Beware.
That's how you know it's serious.
Mm-hmm. Of counterfeit tickets and inflated prices. Mm-hmm. How big a problem is this? I'm just curious. I mean, this is
there not, were, I think, maybe two people that visited the Sandpoint Festival office last year to let us know how unhappy they were that they purchased very, very, very expensive tickets, not from us. And what could we do about that? And the answer is nothing. We can do nothing about that. One of the ways we try to combat scalpers is our tickets don't release until 5 days before the performance, which hopefully eliminates that opportunity for scalpers to buy a ticket and then re-release it on a second website for much more money. So
now, are these scalpers local or?
No, they can be anywhere. Anyone with a web, you can go on the internet and just buy the tickets. And maybe you're in Pennsylvania and you've bought six tickets to like Third Eye Blind, and then you can turn around and re-release those on some of these ticket selling platforms. And people could spend, $150 on a ticket, and we can't guarantee that they haven't sold that ticket three other times already. So it does become a bit of a problem.
And even the ones that are technically legitimate are getting better and better. I was recently looking at a show for the Fox Theater in Spokane. And after looking at tickets, their map layout didn't look quite correct. And I clicked around a little bit and realized it was absolutely a third-party site. The URL was correct for the Fox, aside from one letter at the beginning that is very, very important, as it turns out. But they're getting very crafty. I went back to see if those actual tickets I looked at were available directly through the Fox, and they were for $70 less or something. So it's... They're getting better. People are paying a lot for higher Google results when you search for things. So come straight to the source.
That can be pretty discouraging. Mm-hmm. It can.
It's disappointing for us, too, because we can't do anything for you.
There's nothing you can do about it. Mm-hmm. No. Absolutely.
And a lot of them aren't technically illegal. They're just shady.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, it's not illegal to buy and resell a ticket, but yeah. Interesting.
But aside from all that nonsense, we also have been doing interviews for our internships. Our volunteer applications have been open for a while. We're opening applications and production crew, I guess, will be coming up next for our summer series. Mm-hmm. And we're also throwing in another concert before our summer series, mm-hmm. down at the Hive in June.
June 13th.
The Stones?
Oh.
Yeah, we're bringing them back.
Oh, great. Mm-hmm.
Can't wait.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Tickets are on sale now.
Mm-hmm.
We are hosting Snacks at Midnight. Some people might remember them from their festival appearance last year. They were a great opener for us. High energy, really fun band. I believe they're from Spokane.
Ooh, there's a Sandpoint connection too. Yeah.
Mm, I love that. Yes. So we are doing a fundraiser for the festival. As everyone should know, we are a nonprofit. We support music education in our community. And this is right. Fundraising is one way that we need to do that to keep the funds going for that. So we are hosting a concert. And it's slightly in conjunction with our annual online auction that we do every May to June. This year, our auction will run kind of the end of May to the beginning of June, ending on, I think, Friday the 12th, and then Saturday the 13th, we will have a concert celebrating the auction. And we'll also have an opportunity for people to learn a little bit more about the nonprofit programs that the festival does, like our instrument library. And there will be some really fun fundraising components that we're going to introduce. But overall, it's just a concert. We want everyone to come down and have fun, celebrate the festival. This is a great opportunity for our local community to come get in and hang out with us before, you know, masses descend on Sandpoint. Yeah.
And the date?
June 13th, Saturday night, June 13th.
And that's also on the website.
Yes.
Cool.
Yes.
Okay. Tell us more. What else is coming up for the festival at Sandpoint? What's on your agenda? What in this stack of papers that you brought, there must be something more that you'd like to talk about.
Oh, I could talk for hours, Jack. I think you know that. Weird scholarships right now are still happening.
That's still open.
So that's still open April 10th. So the next time we come on, we'll be getting ready to close those applications. They're open to all high school juniors and seniors.
All of our current scholarships are open to all high school students, 9th through 12th grade. Preference given to graduating seniors on a few of them, like our instrumental scholarship and vocal scholarship. Preference will be given to people graduating and going into that field specifically in some capacity post-secondary. But other than that, they're all open for all high school students.
In geographic area, Bonner County, or?
We have, we're now representing all of Bonner County over into Priest River, and we have a scholarship up in Boundary County also for high school students up in Bonner's Ferry High.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. One specific just to Boundary. They are also welcome to apply for our vocal and our instrumental excellence scholarships, but we also have one specific just to Bonner's Ferry High School.
Cool.
Our music appreciation scholarship, which is the fun new one we are introducing this year, which is you draw on a postcard, you write song lyrics on a postcard. Just tell us how music has impacted your life. I feel like sometimes our scholarships are geared more towards those students of music, but this could be for anybody. Someone that, you know, a specific song really impacted them in their life and they want to share with us how that is or what that means to them, and then drop the postcard off at our office, and then we'll go through and figure out who's the right person for that. And we have three of those happening, one at Priest River, one at Bonner's Ferry, and then one in Sandpoint High School, or LPOSD.
Mm-hmm. Excellent, excellent.
Let's see. We got a little bit of semi-news out of you this time. The community night moving to Sunday rather than Wednesday. I feel good about that.
Feel good about that.
Good journalism, Jim. I think we tricked him. Yeah.
Most certainly.
Yes.
Most
anything else? Any other hints you'd like to give out about the other?
Not with
six
all
nights?
These tricks being played. Thank you, sir. I'll just for my things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No hints. Nothing at all. You can't give us any kind of just a tease.
There's going to be some more
music.
Live music.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
It'll be happening in, you know, the greater area of 801 Ontario, Sandpoint, Idaho. And it promises to be a rollicking good time.
Sure does.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
The community night, I think, last year was really a fun night. A lot of people have expressed that they had a great time, and we had a variety. We had a Spokane band. Mm-hmm. We had Sandpoint bands. I think one thing that is important to note for all of us here that are looking forward to that night is community night doesn't just mean Sandpoint. We would like to share with Sandpoint maybe some more regional artists out of perhaps Spokane, Post Falls, Coeur d'Alene, kind of our greater area up here that we're in, and introduce some of our community members to some other really cool music that they can go and see throughout the rest of the year. So that, look forward to that night. And those will be pretty low cost tickets as well.
Mm-hmm. I like that. I think that was probably the most fun I had at the festival last year.
It was a great night. It was a really great night.
Yeah.
Yeah. And hopefully this year we'll be able to partner with some local other community organizations about doing some activations so that we can really provide a place for resources for the community, so we can kind of act as that connector within our community with like CREC and some of the resources that they provide. We'd love to collaborate with them and make it a more comprehensive community experience for everyone here.
Mm-hmm. CREC. Are we calling it CREC?
I mean...
Okay. The Community Resource and Vision Center.
Thank you, Jack.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're welcome.
CREC really just rolls off the
throat. I know. I always wonder if I should call it CREC or CREC or...
CREC.
Yeah, I don't know.
CREC sounds like the latest drug on the streets. Just wanted to say, as an outsider.
CREC. Yeah.
The CREC epidemic hitting
our
streets.
Anything else with the festival? If not, I'd like to ask Paul to remind us what he will be doing on this Friday and Saturday night.
Well, there's a long-standing tradition in Sandpoint that some people might know about called the Follies.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, it was a little different format. We did a dance party down at the Hive. And to officially see off the Follies in its current iteration, the Queen of Ireland, the Angels Over Sandpoint, an amazing tech team, and I might add just a crushingly handsome and phenomenal house band.
Say no more.
I know. It's going to be a great show.
Not to toot your
horn. We're bringing back the Follies at the Panada one more time, Friday and Saturday night.
7 o'clock. Doors open at 6. If I don't know if tickets are available, but you can certainly go there, and sometimes somebody will be out in the street in front saying, hey, I've got an extra ticket or something. But simply, it's farewell to the Queen.
Farewell to the Queen. One last hurrah. We had our tech rehearsal last night.
And how'd that go?
It was hilariously fun.
Good.
It's going to be a great show. Every act that's in the show this year has been in some capacity in the past.
So they know the routine.
This is kind of a greatest hits. Mm-hmm. Farewell to the Queen. And it's, we've got acting, we've got music, we've got local news. And
what fun.
What fun.
After,
the costumes are outrageous. The dance moves are pure fire.
I cannot wait. Just, oof. I'm very excited.
You're listening to 88.5 KRFY. Ponderay. This is Panhandle Community Radio. It's the morning show. Bird Note in just a minute, but a couple other things to mention first. One thing, okay, regarding the Follies, after you left when last you were in the studio talking about the Follies.
I believe that was 1 week ago.
I was going to say last week.
Right in this very chair.
So long ago.
I speculated that this might not be the true farewell to the Queen. Or I think it's the Elton John farewell tour that's going to last for 4 years.
We're not doing the Who, the Stones. Madonna did it like 13 times or something.
Yeah.
No, this is it. Mm-hmm. Namely because we have a crazy stunt planned for the end of the Saturday night show that might go awry. So it might be farewell to the Queen.
For real.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Read about it on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly. Come down. It's going to be great.
Okay.
No, I think in this capacity, this will be the farewell show. And there will be something else in the future. I'm certain it will be from the people that brought you the Follies, but, you know.
A different.
Yeah.
Maybe the next thing.
The next thing.
Reimagined.
Tell us about the one more thing about the festival. What's this Keys thing?
One more thing I failed to mention earlier. For our fundraiser, Saturday night, June 13th, at the Hive, Snacks at Midnight, tickets available now, festival@sandpoint.com. One of the cool, fun fundraising components that we are introducing this year is a purchase a key for $15 to $20, depending on when you buy your tickets, and you could be the lucky winner of the key that unlocks the treasure box containing two sponsor season passes. So that's kind of one of the fun fundraising things we're doing this year. We've got two sponsor seasons passes, which is tickets to every show at the festival. You can get in 15 minutes early with those seats. They cost a normal human around $2,000. So to purchase a key for $15 in advance or $20 day of, your chances are good. There's going to be a limited amount of keys available. So if that's something you are interested in trying for, purchase your tickets early and ahead of time so that we can hopefully give you the lucky winning key and you can unlock that treasure chest and win all the tickets. I believe that is 18 tickets. So
this is a physical key?
A physical key.
Something I
for
can hold
physical
in my hand.
Tickets. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes. Yes, you can hold it in your hand, then you can try your luck, and hopefully you're the winning guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or gal.
Correct.
That's a cool idea.
It was very inspired. Yes. We're pretty excited about that one. It's going to be fun.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay.
So and the box looks like an actual tiny treasure chest.
It does.
Cool.
I know.
It's
phenomenal.
Yeah. Yes. It's very cool.
Again, the dates or where are those available? How do I get a key?
You purchase a ticket to the Snacks at Midnight concert at the Hive. And when you go online to buy that ticket, you can have the add-on option of, would you like to purchase a key? Yeah. And then you say yes, and how many? And then there you go.
Awesome.
And then when you arrive at the show, we'll give you your key and you can try your luck.
Okay.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work... Hey, you got a key.
You got a key, and you got to go to a fun concert with all your friends.
Right.
And support, what I might add, is just a phenomenal resource in our community, the festival at Sandpoint.
Yeah. Let's see. Among the things that the festival does is not just the festival, but the education.
We do.
Are you doing, you going out to Selkirk School today?
Here shortly, yes. Okay. I've got a pile of woodwinds in my car ready to go.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
Teaching the littles.
Yeah, we're doing a little more instrument exploration these days in our pre-K classes. And our new music teacher, Sarah Morgan, which a lot of people in Sandpoint will recognize that name, officially started with us just yesterday. She's coming on the staff and will be teaching those classes with me and then teaching a lot of them as we continue to grow our programs.
Awesome.
So she got her first taste of that yesterday. We were doing woodwinds, we were doing flutes and reeds, and talking about why things make the sounds they do and how they make those sounds, and learning how to vibrate a reed and learning how to blow across a flute properly to make the air vibrate, and why it's called a woodwind, even though it's made out of metal. The questions are just phenomenal. Why a saxophone is a woodwind, it's clearly made of brass. It looks like a trumpet. Yeah. It's in the wrong instrument family. And, you know, 3 to 6-year-olds will not hesitate to correct me when they're certain I'm wrong, too.
A saxophone is a woodwind?
Sure is.
All right. We'll talk about this off the air.
I know.
That's wrong.
Come to class.
Okay.
Yeah. Come on
up. Selkirk School.
I will. Jim, more upcoming events on your calendar.
Exactly. I've got four things to mention. Number one tonight on the KRFY Folk Show, one word theme, war.
Okay.
Tomorrow.
Sad theme, but great music.
Ton of good music in terms of folk music. Empty Bowl, a fundraiser for the fundraiser. It's a raiser, Jim.
A like fundraiser, a bread bowl?
Yes, for the Bonner Community Food Bank at Marigold Bistro. There is a suggested donation at the door, and then you pick a bowl, and then you get a three kind of soups, and you could choose one. And it's a fundraiser for the community food bank. A week from Friday, POAC presents St. Patty's Show at the Hive with Darina Harvey Band, March 13th at 8 o'clock. Tickets are available. And then finally, KRFY on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day.
Yes.
Free at the Hive. At 7 o'clock, the Little Live Radio Hour, and with local musicians playing Celtic music, And doors open at 6. That's at the Hive. And Paul, you're going to be there, aren't you?
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be on stage for part of it this time.
Go away.
I'll be sitting in with Bridges Home.
Bridges Home.
Local famous duo.
Mm-hmm. Great. Yep.
Soon to be famous trio again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay, that is the 17th, St. Patrick's Day, a Tuesday, at the Hive, 7 o'clock. Let's fill the place.
Let's
absolutely.
Do it. It's free. Am I right?
It's free.
It is a free concert.
R-E-E. And hopefully, if we're having fun, after we're off the air, we might just have a little bit more music.
There might be an encore or something
like
that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Applause, applause, applause.
I know a few of those musicians, and it probably wouldn't be hard to talk them into it. Just saying.
And the Hive is such a great venue.
Yeah. We had our first show last month, and it was
fun.
So fun.
Yeah.
That was great.
And love the restrooms there. That's all I have to say. I'm not going to say anything more. I love the restrooms there. I'm done with all of my announcements. Tonight at 9 o'clock, I'll be on the air doing Songs of War.
Yeah. Mm. Bridges Home and Brendan Kelty with Andy Ulrich and Chloe Davis is our the upcoming act at the...
The 17th.
It's on St. Patrick's
Day.
And it's free.
Yes. I'm actually looking for limericks. I'm looking for local writers who want to contribute limericks that we can read in between the acts. So
here's a beauty for you. Oh wait, no.
No.
Come to the Follies and I'll read you the limerick. Yeah. Yes.
No. Jim, you're a man of letters. You could submit a limerick between now and then.
You know, you set me up, you know, like we watch Jeopardy at night and there'll be a category like Shakespeare.
Uh-huh.
And the person I'm with will say, oh, you have a PhD in English. You'll get every answer, you know, and I don't get a one, you know, it's expectations, you know. I don't think so, Jack.
All right. Well, five lines. See what you can do. You got like 12 days. Okay.
Oh, brother. Last but not least.
Go for it.
You had mentioned Patsy Cline earlier, and of course, Belushi.
Yeah.
On a less sad note, on both fronts, 1983, Jack.
Uh-huh.
Thriller. Today.
Oh, that's right.
Number one.
That's today. Right.
Mm-hmm. Today.
Okay. Today in history. And in, what was it, 1971, Zeppelin started a 12-week run with Zeppelin IV.
Yeah.
Top of the charts.
Okay.
Wow.
12 weeks.
I learned so much from these visits.
Stairway.
Some positive positive news.
But, but you realize anybody who's like 25 years or younger, that's just like history.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Late history. And in lesser exciting news, in 2002... The Osbournes premiered on MTV. So, you know, a little bit of everything.
Sure.
A little bit of everything.
Note, we should go to Bird Note.
And here's Bird Note. Yeah. KRFY, Community Radio.
Thanks for listening.
Call and donate now.
Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Paul. Thanks, Dara. Thanks, Jim. Thanks,
I won't be here next
Hannah.
Week.
Oh, dear.
You're, it's going to be Lonesome Jack.
I'll figure it out. Okay. And Bird Note now, and then Michael Jackson after that.
Yes.